Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. You have tuned in to the Inspiration Station. This is Prophetess Tamara Harris. I am so excited about what God is going to do today. Today is going to be an extraordinary, awesome show. God is already moving in the atmosphere, and he's shaking and he's shifting things for his people. Today, I want us to get our hearts and our minds prepared for the word of God that is going to be brought today. And I just pray that you would be lifted and encouraged through what God is going to do today. Today, we have a special guest, and this is going to be an extraordinary show. We have Dr. Dennis Winborn today, who's going to be our special guest, and we're going to bring him forward in a few minutes, and I want us to get prepared for what God is going to do today, and I'm just so excited because, you know, I know that there is a special anointing in the atmosphere for the people of God, and I am just in expectation, and I pray that you're in expectation as well. God is already really moving amongst the people of God, and he is ready for us to get in place so that we can receive his kingdom and receive the anointing that is coming our way. And so, as usual, you know, I get on here and I talk and, you know, encourage and I build up, and then, you know, we go into prayer and we're going to receive our speaker in a few minutes. And so I want to pray so that we can mentally get ourselves prepared for what God is going to do. And so right now I want to pray. Father God, we just thank you today, God. We just thank you for the supernatural elevation in the spirit, God. We just thank you, Father God, for pushing us on through our day, Father God, through our week, Father God. Father God, we thank you because we know this is the day that you have made, God, and we are rejoicing today, Father God, for the things that you have done for your people, God. Father God, we just ask you for a special anointing today, God. We just ask, Father God, that you would open our hearts and our minds, Father God, to whatever, Father God, that you have for us, God. We receive your anointing, God. We receive your blessing, Father God. We receive, Father God, the supernatural elevation, Father God, that you are going to take us in the spirit in on today, Father God. We just thank you, God, that you get all the glory for everything that's going on in our lives, God. We just thank you, Father God, that everything that you are doing, Father God, it is for the best of us, Father God. It is for greater that is coming in our lives, Father God. We just thank you today, Father God, that you would open up our spirits to receive the anointing, to receive the revelation, to receive the word, Father God, that you have for us today, God. We decree and we declare today that we are proclaiming victory by the power and by the blood of Jesus Christ today, God. We thank you that you would touch our speaker, God, that you would touch him, Father God, and give him a mighty word to deliver today, God. Father God, we don't know, God, what you are going to do today, God, but we are in expectation, God. We are expecting you to do a mighty move, Father God. Go through the phone lines, Father God. Charge us right now, Father God. Just be the electricity that we need, Father God, in the spiritual realm, God, to get us prepared, Father God, for the word today, Father God. And keep us from being distracted, Father God, that we could just be open and receive, Father God, that we would have a clear understanding and a clear wisdom, clear knowledge, Father God, of your word today, God. And let us not ever depart from your presence, God, but keep us, Father God, near you, God. Hold us with your righteous hand, Father God, today, Lord. And we just thank you today, God, for everything that you're doing, for the show, God, for the move, for the saturation in the spirit realm, God, that you would just saturate us, God, that you would just consume us, God, burn in our hearts like fire, God, burn in our spirits, Father God, consume us, Father God, so that we may never be the same after today, Father God, for your glory and for your power, and you are mighty in all the things that you do in our lives, God. And we thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. I am just so encouraged by what God is doing in the atmosphere. So today we're going to get moving and get prepared for our speaker, Dr. Dennis Winborn. He holds the fivefold ministry gift. He's an apostle. He's a teacher. He's a pastor. And I mean, it's a mighty revelation that the Lord has put upon him. And I am just in expectation. He has over 30 years of ministry under his belt and just keeps on going and traveling and preaching the gospel all over the world. He is highly anointed, and I am proud to say even through all of that he is my dad as well. And I just have such a great example to look after, just looking up to him and seeing him go forth and preach the gospel with such an encouragement. And so without further ado, I am going to step back, and I'm going to let Dr. Dennis Winborn go forth and speak the word of God today, and I pray that you would receive him as he gets on, and we're going to get him on here into the studio and open up his mic, and we just pray that God would just move and do what he needs to do in your life today. Dr. Dennis Winborn, are you online with us today?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, okay, amen. Glory to God. And so without further ado, I want to introduce you to Apostle Dr. Dennis Winborn.
God bless everyone. God bless. God bless. Very excited about being here with you to share the word with you this evening and this afternoon, excuse me. It is a privilege and I count it an honor to break the bread of life and to share. We honor my daughter and our prophetess, Tamara Harris. We thank God for her and what God is doing through her life and how God is moving in her life and just asking us to share with you during this time. Been really excited about the word that God has given us to share with you this afternoon. I pray that you're ready to receive it. It's always good to have your hearts and minds clear as we hear the word of the Lord. This is a revelation I'm going to share with you today, some revelatory text, and there's different kinds of text, topical, you know, expository. Amen. This is kind of a topical text mixed with some revelation that God has given us to share with you. I pray that you're going to be just ignited and on fire for God and inspired. My calling is to, to build the body of Christ. The master builder calling is upon us to help build God's people. Now, if anything bad to tell you, just want to tell you to be encouraged. But let's get ready to go into the word of God. The prayer has been prayed. She's prayed. Woman of God has prayed the prayer. So let us go into the word of God. Today, we're going to share with you about sonship. When I say sonship, all the women of God can say amen, too, because I'm referring to, amen, daughters and sons. We're going to talk about the power of being, amen, a son and a daughter. So we're going to use the term sonship because the Bible, when it says sonship, it does seem biased, but it's not biased. It's referring to daughters as well, amen. In the Old Testament, a lot of times when you look at the word of the Lord, you'll see a lot of a female presence. And so let me clear that up. That's not something that it's focused on just the male gender. It's not that at all. It's just that many times the Bible used the male gender, amen, mainly because of leadership, particular reasons. But it's not to throw the female gender away. God anointing can fall on both, and he is falling on both. So be excited, men and women of God, as you go forward. Today we're dealing with sonship. Sonship refers to, amen, after we have become born again. Amen. If you're not saved here, I hope that you are. You want to give your heart to the Lord. But after we have become born again, we move on to him empowering us to become sons and daughters in the earth. In order for you to be effective, you have to understand the power of being a son and a daughter of God. Amen. That is a privilege, first of all. I'm thankful that I've been able to preach the gospel these many years and since the age of 22, amen, and to preach the gospel. Actually started at 20 sharing the gospel message and then went and started a full-time ministry when I was 22. I'm very blessed and thankful for that, but one thing I've learned through all that is the relationship, amen. Out of everything, you want relationships. So I'm going to stir up your relationship today. I want you to get stirred up about being a son, stirred up about being a daughter in God. I want you to get fired up about being God's son, God's daughter, but God's children. And it means something to be called a child of God. It's not just a terminology, but it means something. Sonship is powerful because it is continuous. We are continuously walking in our sonship. we're continuously walking as daughters and sons in the power of God. And as the power of God transforms us, we become more like him. Now, I want to go to a particular scripture and share something with you. And some of you all know that Jesus, amen, came here, amen, from the throne of grace, from his Father's side to come here in the earth. Amen. We normally cut through all the wording that I could use and just go, he came here, but took in a physical body, amen, to die for the sins of all of us and to redeem us from the curses and the works of sin. Not just sin, but the thing that made you sin, the nature of sin, the very thing that would cause you to do and to operate in sin. Jesus dies. He kills and destroys it in his own body. But to understand that, we need to go back and look at his sonship. Jesus comes here in the earth, amen, amen, from the throne of grace. He says, prepare me a body. And so in scripture, the Bible says, he said, prepare me a body. He has to go into a human body. Oh, and that's powerful because you have to understand the divine in the human. In Matthew, the third chapter here, in Matthew 3, I want to slow down and teach this. Matthew, the third chapter, the Bible says in verse 16 and verse 17, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And I want you to make reference to the heavens open unto him. And I want to say to sons and daughters, amen, and I'm going to come into this in a few moments, but I want to get you locked into the heavens were open to him. I want to prophesy to you right now and tell you that when you become a son and a daughter, the heavens are going to open to you prophetically, spiritually. Amen. God's going to open the heavens to you. Jesus comes to be a prequel to show us, amen, divine authority. He comes as a prequel to show us our exact place that he possessed for us. He possessed this place and then gave it to us. Now, we're not the Son of God. We're not the actual Son of God. We're not Jesus, but we're sons and daughters of God, which means he's sharing his heirship with us, amen, which he's sharing his authority with us. So that's what that represents. Now, in Matthew, the third chapter, excuse me, verse 16, the Bible says, Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. The dove is a very prophetic bird, amen. It can live in every climate, amen. It's a very prophetic bird, amen. If you go back to find all the way back to the time of Noah, amen, it was the dove that I believe was the dove that Noah used to go out and to find dry land. That dove has ceased, amen, to not be destroyed, amen. It is a powerful interpretation to understand the dove, but it represents the Spirit of God, amen. So here the dove descended and lighted upon him. Now watch verse 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now you got to understand this text. You understand Matthew. Matthew is a Jewish writer. He's writing to a Jewish people. He's writing, amen, mainly to a Jewish crowd. Matthew is, trying to convey here this sonship. Now, I want to show you the sonship of Jesus Christ. Then I'm going to bring you to the sons and daughters that we become. The reason why it's important, because as a man in the earth, God had to confirm him before people, and that was powerful. He had to confirm him as the Son in the earth, and this was when he did it. Now, before this time, God had not said on the earth, this is my Son. But here in Matthew, the third chapter, he confirms the sonship of his Son to say, this is my Son here in the earth. This is my Son. Hear him, amen, and walk with him. Now, this is powerful. He said, I'm well pleased. Now, here he says, amen, well pleased. In another text, it says, hear ye him. Amen. There's other times where the Lord says, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. Amen. Now, here the Bible says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Now, this is the confirmation of Jesus' sonship in the earth realm. So this is powerful. You must hold to that, because this means something to you as a believer. It means something to you as a son and a daughter of God, that if he confirmed his relationship and sonship, I am confirmed too. That can make you shout right there, that you are confirmed, amen, under the authority of Jesus Christ to be a son and a daughter in his kingdom. So he said, and lo, a voice from heaven. Now, this voice did not come from anywhere. It did not come from, amen, someone's home. This voice came from the heaven. So it is the echo and the voice of God, amen, saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Now, this here, you must make reference to this because this is the confirming of the sonship of God in the earth realm. This is powerful now. This is the sonship of God being established up on the earth. This is the power of God's son being confirmed. This is powerful because you need to understand this plays a continuous role in your life. Now, watch this now. Incarnation. These are some theological terms I just want to put in here because it's powerful that you understand some theological things. They do help us out some. Theologically, the word incarnation, it is a biblical, not a biblical word, but it's a term. And the term means the word became flesh. That means that the word of God, glory to God, becomes flesh. The word itself, the logos, becomes flesh. It became flesh. Now, we're going to get into this because I want you to understand what's happening here. The word doesn't change, glory to God, the logos. I mean, the flesh doesn't change the logos. It doesn't hinder the logos. Just that the logos inhabits the flesh. That makes it powerful because what happens is the logos says, I'm going to assume flesh so I can come here and do the work I need to do. Amen. Now, at the present moment, it's very powerful that at this moment, Jesus is still yet divine and human. Amen. Very yet. Amen. So it is something that is a mystery that we're going to be trying to figure out in the finite mind, amen, in the finite, the mind that's limited. We're going to try to figure it out, but you won't be able to figure out some things in the Godhead. It's absolutely mind-blowing and mysterious, amen, hidden, that we cannot understand that he's divine and human, amen. The Bible even calls him the man, Christ Jesus. Now, that man that we know as human, amen, that died for our sins, that man did not sin. So that man is not corrupt. So that human that he took up on is not corrupt. I don't want to get off into that too much longer, but I need to explain that terminology, the divine and the human meet together. So the word is called incarnation, takes on the flesh. It's called the logos inhabits the flesh. Now, there's a term called hypostatic union. While in New Jersey, I begin to talk about this message called the gospel. And in so doing so, I brought in this term called the hypostatic union, which is taught in theology as a theological term. You need to understand it because it will empower you to understand what's really going on. How can this man be who he is? Jesus is fully human and still fully divine. He's not half and half. I don't want you to get that twisted. He's not half man, half God. No, he's all God, all man at the same time. He's the only one that can assume that role because he is the son of God. Now, amen. We are sons and daughters of God, but he is the son, amen, of God. Amen. The Bible says, amen, here in teaching on theologically, they teach on the hypostatic union, the divine assumes the human without confusion of nature, which means when the spirit of Jesus Christ, amen, the spiritual part of him dropped into the human side of him, there was not a confusion of the nature, which means one nature was not confused with the next, which means they knew by destiny what they each were here to do, which means the human know I'm here to do this, the divine knows I'm here to do that. That's powerful because he has to drop into the human side of me, amen, so that he can deliver and set me free. He has to know what humans feel so that I can deliver humans from frailties and deliver them from sin. I can't deliver them from something that I'm not aware of what they are dealing with. The Bible says in Hebrews that we have a high priest that has been touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That means he knows everything that me and you deal with. You may feel like he doesn't, but he does. He knows all of our expressions, all of our situations. That's why I don't care what you're battling or struggling with, you can get delivered from it in the name of Jesus Christ. You can be and are delivered. Now, his work is done. Your work is to believe the work that he's already done. His work is finished. Your job is to step into the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means that by faith I receive, glory to God, everything that he's done for me. I receive every work that he's done for me. I receive that I am delivered and set free from the bondage of
sin. Come on now, and shame. This is powerful. I want you to get this. So that's what that hypostatic union has done. That's what incarnation means, that the Logos took on flesh. Hypostatic union means that the nature of the human and the nature of the divine completely met together, joined together, and there was no confusion, all right? Now, this is powerful to break it down like this. The doctrine of the hypostatic union says this here. The Son of God, a divine person, assumed a perfect human nature and nevertheless remains one person. Now, that's, you know, now in your thoughts, how can you understand that? Amen. But you have to understand that's exactly what happened. Amen. A divine person assumed a perfect human body, which means, amen, Jesus didn't step into a body that came from Mary. That's not the teaching. Mary was the vessel, amen, for the baby to be birthed, but she was not, amen, he did not use her blood. I don't want to get off into that. That's another direction. He didn't use her blood, amen, amen. That's why it's called the blood of Jesus Christ. He didn't use her blood. He used the body of Mary, which used to produce the child, because he could not come anyway, amen, through human means. He had to come through human means, so the body of Mary was used to birth the child, amen. He was deposited in her. Glory to God. He was put, implanted there. He was implanted there by God in her womb. Isn't that powerful? You can find that in St. Luke, the first chapter, around about verse 26 on down through the end of the chapter, verse 44. You can read about that, what they call the Immaculate Conception. He was conceived in this body, was implanted there. Now, I want to move on from that, but this is how we understand our sonship, is understanding that we are now been adopted. We're going to get into adoption now. What does that mean? I've been adopted in. According to sin, according to the Adamic nature, according to what Adam done, I wasn't supposed to be redeemed. But thanks be to God, the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed me from curses. He took me from bondage. He redeemed me from every shackle of that's been damaged. I don't care what you've been damaged by. I don't care what you've been hit by. I don't care what you're going through right now. Jesus is saying to you today that deliverance and the power of God has adopted you where you can live in the kingdom of God. We're heirs and joint heirs. Let me slow down here. We're heirs and joint heirs of his kingdom. We're heirs and joint heirs. Don't forget that you're an heir and a joint heir in the kingdom. So now let me explain this term called adoption. Now, adoption, now this is how we receive our sonship, all right? Excuse me. Amen. This is how we receive our sonship. Our sonship and daughter becoming sons, it is an adoption, which means the sonship is formed by adoption, which means Christ chose you. You were picked. Now, don't ever brag about being saved because you were picked. You were chosen. It's nothing to be brag about, but it is something to be thankful for. It is, you've been purchased. Amen. You've been selected. You've been chosen by God. Isn't that powerful? It's called, one of the terms is called election. Amen. Amen. The term is called election. God has chosen you before, watch, foundations of the earth, which means before you were born, before your mother had you, before you were birthed into this earth, God knew you. Come on now. He knew who you were. He knew what you were able to do. He knew your ins and outs, your coming and your going. He knew you, but he adopted you. Isn't this powerful? He adopts you into his kingdom, amen, as in Christ's kingdom, having now received the Holy Spirit in your life, come on now, living within and destined to be conformed to Christ's image. So the adoption says this here, that I am been adopted, I've been chosen in Christ, having the Holy Spirit in my life, living within and destined to be conformed to Christ's image. So what is the destiny of a son or a daughter? The image of Christ. The destiny of the son of or daughter of God is to bear the image, the imprint of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to bear the empowerment of him in your life. I mean, that right there is absolutely, it is radical. It's mind-blowing that he adopted me. I didn't choose him. If you go back and look at St. John, I believe it is, 15th chapter, I'm not really for sure, fresh on it right now, the Bible says, you have not chosen me, but I chose you. Let me tell you something. We didn't have the ability to choose Christ. He chose you. And so that adoption now says, look, I'm adopting you into my kingdom to make you a son, to make you a daughter. I'm putting you in my kingdom to make you full of power. I'm bringing you in to make you full of me so that when you become full of me, you can do miraculous things. That's why we can lay hands on the sick, and the Bible says they shall recover. That's why we can cast out devils. That's why we can, amen, remove tumors and cause things to happen. And it's not by because of our own selves. It's because of the sonship that's there. It's because of the power of God that is there, okay? So that's what happened. So now if you turn your Bible to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, we're going to get into this sonship a little bit deeper. Amen. So you've been adopted. You've been brought in. You've been adopted as a son and a daughter into the kingdom of God. And you are conformed to his image, which means the more you get into the relationship with him, watch this, you become more like him. You become more of his image. You become more endowed with power and might to do the things that, amen, he can do through your life. Amen. God is raising up many prophets and apostles and raising up many, amen, in the prophetic, many, even in the biblical times, there were many more in the prophetic realm than in the apostolic realm. The prophetic, amen, because the Bible, the prophet, amen, is powerful because they speak forth from God. Amen. They were the messengers. In the Old Testament, they were called seers. So, amen, God wants to use us. So he can't use us until we understand really why. Where he uses us as sons and daughters. He doesn't just use us because, no, use us with purpose. And the purpose is that you are becoming a son and a daughter of God. Now, we're going to talk about how what brings us into the characteristics of a son and daughter of God in just a moment here, but let me get into the text. In Romans 8, chapter verse 10, the Bible says, Romans 8, one of Paul's greatest writings is Romans. If you ever want to begin to cause yourself to have great informational book, Romans is. And Romans here is written here, amen, in the time of the Roman Empire, very powerful book, amen. Don't have time to get into all of that, but written in the Roman Empire, Paul writes here in Romans 8, chapter verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. He said, now the body is dead because of sin, if Christ be in you. He's saying, look, if Christ is living there, he said that sin is going to be dead. And what's going to come alive is righteousness. And that's what Paul is declaring, that if Christ be in us, amen, sin's going to die and righteousness is going to live. And that's truly a true principle. Amen. It doesn't mean that you won't make a mistake. It doesn't mean that you won't fall into something. But it does mean this here, that the ultimate destiny of this creature is to become dead to sin and alive to righteousness, which means I am not living in the work of sin. And we have to watch that because sometimes people get in their mind that they can just kind of do anything and live any kind of way. And that's really not God's will. We want to encourage you not to think that way because that's not the will of God, amen, for us to do that. We want to understand that if that were the case, why would we be born again? Why would we receive the new creature? Why would we receive the new birth to do the same things that we once came out of? That makes no sense to be born again anew and then do the same things continuously. That makes no sense because if I'm born again from above, I have a new ideal. I have new thinking. I got a new mindset. But now to bring balance to the text, the grace of God is forgiving. God's grace will come in and set you free and help you with anything that you have need of, but never think it's God's will for you just to live any kind of lifestyle. God will give you strength, glory to God, to live holy and righteous before him if that is your desire. He will give you power to do it, and that power doesn't come from man. That power comes from God, and God has given you power to write, to stand up tall and be strong. The Bible says in verse 11, but if the spirit of him, now here's where it shifts. Come on now. This is where it gets shifted, where things shift and start moving towards the sonship. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. So here it goes. He said, look, the spirit is going to fall on you and quicken your mortal body. It's going to wake up this mortal body and quicken it so it can die and cause the spirit of God to dwell in you. Verse 12 says, therefore, brethren, debtors not to the flesh, which means I don't owe the flesh service. and it means to live after the flesh. Verse 12 means that I don't owe the flesh to live to it. I don't owe it any responsibility to do what it tells me to do in its evil desires and passions. I don't have to listen to it. I don't have to obey it. I don't have to pay it attention. I don't have any course to give the flesh any attention. God has given me power over my flesh. Amen. God has given you power over your flesh in the name of Jesus Christ. So remember that. You got to say it sometime every day. God will bless you as you begin to confess it and believe and receive it. The Bible says in verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. And what it means if I live a life after the flesh and just do carnal things or things that don't pertain to God, eventually I will die. It means die spiritually. Let me go back to the garden for a minute. What happens to Adam and Eve is that in the garden they die. They don't die physically. They die spiritually. They die spiritually because they disobeyed God. When they disobeyed God, the direct command of God, God removes them from the garden, the Bible says, and they die spiritually. And then he covers them, amen, amen, with leaves, amen, with clothing, excuse me. He covers them with clothing, amen, a clothing that he literally had to take from an animal source, amen, and covers them and dresses them because of their sin. Because before that time, they were naked and not ashamed. But because of sin, now things become new to them. Same principle here. Romans says here that I do not owe the flesh anything. If I live to the flesh, I'm going to die spiritually. So you have to understand that's the destiny of sin, is to kill you, is to destroy you. Amen. So remember that. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So now I have this adopted spirit now. I've been adopted, and the power of God is in me now. And so now I'm turning to my spiritual side. I'm leaving my carnal side behind. That's what a son does. That's what a daughter does. I got to live in my new nature. I feel that in my spirit. You got to live out of your new nature and not your old nature. The old nature says do this. The new nature says work with God. The old nature says act this way. The new nature says work like this. So I got to live from my new nature. And you can do it. Believe me, you can do it. And this is the key, verse 14. Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So what confirms my sonship is the character of being led by God's Spirit. So where does God's Spirit lead me? It's going to lead you to good things. It's going to lead you to still waters. It's going to lead you into good pastures. It's going to lead you to the Word. The Spirit of God does not lead us into error. It leads us into the Word of God. So when the Spirit of God is leading you, it's leading you into things like God, into situations like God, into things in the power of God. The Spirit of God does not lead us in ways that would destroy us or lead us in ways that would cause us not to know the things of God. So when I'm being led of God, God is taking me, and sometimes you may not like all the way God is leading you, but when God is leading you, he's leading you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, when I'm led of God, how else am I led of God? I'm led when I hear the word. I'm led when God is speaking. I'm led when God is talking through somebody, and I know that it is from God, and confirm that it is truly from God and not from them. When I begin to walk by the Spirit of God, I am a son. I am a daughter of God. We are sons and daughters when we are led. How do we know we're led? When we follow what the Word of God is saying. The Bible says, know the Spirit of truth, and everyone will get into that. But when I'm hearing what God is saying to me, I'm obeying what the Word of God. That lets me know. When I begin to do my own thing, I may not be led of God. Amen. When I begin to do things that are not pleasing, I'm not led of God. But my goodness, when I do what God says, when I listen to the voice of God, when God is speaking in my spirit, that makes me a son. Why do I want to be a son? Because I want to be full of power. Why do I want to be a daughter? Because you want to walk up in the power of God. You want to be anointed. You want to be able to say things, and they begin to happen. It's not just for the prophet. It's not just for the apostle. It's not just for the pastor, evangelist, or the teacher to be a son of God or to be a daughter of God. It is for all of you to be daughters and sons of God, to walk up right before him, understanding his awesome power. So get excited about your sonship today. Get excited about knowing that you are, amen, his, amen, his, amen, spiritual servant, his son, his daughter. We'll get into that in a moment. Now, the Bible says in verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Now, it's the Bible here saying, look, you have not received the spirit of bondage. Paul says over in the book of Timothy, you have not received, amen, I'm talking you received a power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. You have power, love, and a sound mind. Here, Romans says, not the spirit of bondage. God's spirit is not bound. You cannot be bound in the spirit of God. It will free you and it will set you free. Glory to God. It will loose you from the bounds and free you from the shackles of Satan. We have not received the spirit of bondage, but you have received the spirit, now to prove my point, of adoption. You have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, which means that inside of you, something is crying out saying, Father or Daddy, calling on to God. Amen. And that's key. Now here it goes here, verse 16. Verse 16 and 17. I want you to hear this now. This is key. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Don't let nobody make you feel like you're not God's children, because the Spirit should bear witness, amen, that you are the child of God. And if children, this is the key, watch this now, then heirs. Now, this is saying that as a son of God or a daughter of God, you are his child. Now, I don't give you this. Now, this is powerful. This is going to hit your spirit. I don't give you to be a son of God and a daughter of God for nothing. If you are my son or my daughter, amen, you are heir. Amen. My daughter is an heir to whatever I have. And when I leave this earth or whatever my time to go on, my daughter is an heir to the things that I have. And you understand? So now I just want to use that natural principle to understand the spiritual. God says this, and you can get excited. Grab a hold of this in your spirit. I'm going to grab it as well. That if I'm a child of God, I'm an heir. I'm an heir. I'm a son, I'm an heir. I don't have to worry about it. I'm an heir. I have already inherited those things that belong to God. I don't have to fight. I don't have to wrestle with nobody. I can't be cheated out of it. I want y'all to hear this, except I allow myself to lose and walk away from my authority. That's the only way I can lose it. If I walk away from my authority and recognize, amen, that I'm not a son of God or a daughter of God, but you are an heir. The Bible says, then heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Three things, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Three things, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That's powerful, you all. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, this is powerful. It took a lot of time to get to that, but I want you to understand what is God saying here, that we are sons and daughters of God. Automatically, right there, when I become a son or a daughter of God, I automatically, watch this now, I inherit what? Kingdom. I inherit what God inherits. I inherit, amen, what the Lord Jesus Christ inherits. Whatever he's inherited, I've inherited too. I've also inherited eternal life, which means when I leave this life, I have already possessed the fact that I will live and live eternally with God. Isn't that powerful? Amen. This is a lot. I want you to get this today. Amen. So remember, you are a son. You are a daughter of God. Get excited about that terminology. This is absolutely powerful. You need to understand this key here, because this is going to set your life free. Remember that hypostatic union. Remember that, amen, that fully divine, fully human person coming to deliver and set things free for you. I hope you're getting this. Now, we're going to move forward. I want you to turn over to the book of St. Luke. This is powerful. St. Luke is going to really preach to us today. St. Luke is going to take us from one place to another, because St. Luke is going to show us that regardless of what, if we remain in our relationship with him, if we come back, God's going to bless us. Amen. This is the term called prodigal son. That's what it's called. The prodigal son, amen, amen, was one that left his home. But the word prodigal means one that was a waster. That's what the word really means, because the word prodigal, one that wasted, or, you know, he wasted his goods. He messed up the things that he had. But let's talk about that, because sometimes, you know, you're saying, well, I ain't perfect. I want to show you right now. I'm telling you this thing. I didn't really recognize why God had given me this until this moment here now. I'm going to tell you right now that regardless of where you are at, you are still a son and daughter of God. And I'm going to prove to you in Scripture that you're going to possess, that you're going to have everything that God wants for you. Amen. You're going to return. I want to prophesy that restoration and recovery is coming to God's people. Restoration, glory to God, and recovery is coming to the people of God. So get ready for it. In the book of St. Luke, chapter 15. Going to Luke's gospel. Luke is the only Gentile writer in the Bible. All the other writers are Jewish. Remember that. Luke is the only Gentile writer. He writes two books. He writes the book of St. Luke and the book of Acts. He's the writer of those two books. He is a companion of the Apostle Paul. He worked with the Apostle Paul and also, different ones in Paul's companions. He labored with Apostle Paul. So he has a great insight in what he's talking about here. St. Luke in verse 11, I apologize. St. Luke 15, verse 7. And he said, a certain man had two sons. This is a powerful revelation. Mm-hmm. I see this revelation here is powerful. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And he divided unto them. Now, the Bible says he divided unto them his living. So apparently he gave them both their particular living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. Now, apparently the older son, I guess, or the one son, he stayed, even though his living was divided. It's a key here. Watch. You can never leave the Father. Watch this now. Amen. And try to be successful. I want you to hear this key. This is the revelation that's going to come out here. Not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country. And when I'm dealing with Father, I'm dealing with God. Watch this now. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. He left his position. He said, give me my stuff. Now watch this. You can tell he inherited. He inherited. He said, give me my stuff. I'm leaving. He said, he takes his things, he leaves. Watch this now. There's a lot of things going to come out in this. Watch this. He says, there he wastes the substance of the riotous living. He starts partying. He starts living an ungodly lifestyle. And all of a sudden, he loses his stuff. Verse 14 says, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine. Soon as he leaves. So let me tell you something. Famine, biblically, will always come. Biblically, I mean, you can find the first famine back in Abraham's day. Amen. Way back in Abraham's day, there was famine. But let me prophesy to you. Famine, amen, will show the saints and the God's people his hand. It will show the world worry and doubt. It's going to show the people of God the hand of God. Amen. So remember I said that. It's going to show you power. Amen. Famine is not meant to destroy us, but it's meant to cause us to reach for the things of God. There rose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. He begins to be in want. I believe the reason why he's wanting is because he's out of position. Glory to God. Once you stay in position, God's going to remove those wants. I speak this out that God's going to remove those wants. Amen. And he's going to bless you to have what you need. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. He went and joined himself to somebody. Bible says, and he went into the field to feed swine. Just understand this young man's position. He doesn't know anything about this kind of lifestyle. He's never been addressed to this. So now he's around with the pig and the hog, and he's out there in the field with them. He's cleaning up their mess. Watch this now. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Nobody helped him. Nobody assisted him. Nobody planted in this life. Wow. Nobody done anything for this young man. And he went, verse 17 says, and he came, and the Bible says in verse 17, now watch this now. I need you to hear this. Verse 17 is the most profoundly powerful part of this text. The Bible says, and when he came to himself. The Bible says he had a wake-up call. He has a light going on. And wait a minute. I'm not supposed to be like this. The Bible says when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He was saying, wait a minute now, in my father's house, and I want to speak this to your spirit, remember your father's house, and remember the relationship with you and your father. Remember the relationship that you need to have with you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the relationship. Don't leave a man the father's side. Don't leave your relationship behind and think, well, I can make it alone. I don't need God. And that's basically what this is in reference to. I don't need God. I'll be all right. I'll make it on my own. I don't need my father any longer. Amen. And this is in reference to the fact that, yes, you need to stay connected to, amen, God, to Elohim. Amen. And then, amen, to Elohim. You need to stay connected to Elohim. That is powerful. One second, please. I'm sorry. Amen. So I had a little disruption there. But watch this now. Watch this. You think you're connected to Elohim. Now watch this now. This is key. Now, verse 17 says, and he came to himself and said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. He said, look, I perish with hunger. I don't even have enough to make it. He says, I will arise. Watch verse 18. This is going to be so profoundly powerful. I will arise and go to my father. He said, now, what does he say? I will arise and go back into this relationship. And I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned. Now, what he's doing here is repairing and repenting and replenishing and recovering this relationship that he walked away from. This young man recognized, I left my father, and when I left my father, I lost everything. I lost my goods. I lost myself. And when I came to myself, what he does, he remembers his authority. I remember that I am not supposed to be here. Let me prophesy to everyone here, is this here, is that you are not supposed to be in that place that you're in, that you're displeased with. God is going to lift you up out of it, me as well. He's going to lift us all up out of places that have become uncomfortable. You can, but watch this. Can he trust you that when he brings you up out of this, that you're going to walk with him? Now, the prodigal son had to recognize this here, that he wanted his stuff for the wrong reason. He goes right out of his father's house and lives crazy. God is saying this here. If I can trust you, I'll give you the goods of the kingdom. If I can trust you, I'll give you the best. He said no good thing was he withhold from them that walk up right before him. That means I don't care what it is. Amen. Houses that you didn't buy, land that you didn't purchase. That I'm not trying to preach about physical, natural things, but let me just say that that's going to happen. Whatever, let me tell you something. God's going to give you things that you didn't even have to earn. God's going to bless you with them. But the thing of it is, when he does that, can he trust that you will remain in relationship with him? This prodigal son, what he does, he takes this stuff and leaves and lives a crazy lifestyle and loses his stuff. How many people have done that? God is saying this here, return back, amen, into sonship. Return back, amen, remember that you are my child. And if you do that, God's going to put things back in order. Now, let me show you as I bring this to a close in a few moments here. Let me show you how this man who lost everything comes back, glory to God, and gets everything back. Watch this now. He says, how many hired servants my father have? He talks about that in verses 17 and 18. He says, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Now watch this. He says, look, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. He says, and watch now watch what he says, verse 19, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Now, he says, he felt that he was not worthy to be called a son. He says, make me as one of thy hired servants. So when he comes back to, you got to watch. And I see, I'm getting some stuff on this. I got to preach this again in other places. But you got to watch. Whenever you go through something, and that goes for me and you as well, whenever you go through something feeling like you're not worthy, amen, you're only worthy because God makes you worthy. He feels now that he's not a son. He doesn't recognize he's still a son. That's still his father. You understand? Amen. You're still a son. You're still a daughter. You just got to return back into knowing who you are. He loses who he is. Watch this now. And now he wants to be a servant. He was never a servant in the first place. Now, this word servant is reference to the word slave. So it's not reference to serving. It's reference to the word slave. So he wants to go back and become a slave, which biblically, amen, Paul talks about slave in the sense of them being a prisoner, amen. It's a little different terminology here. Here, this word slave is used in a negative way. He wants to be a servant. He said, I'll just be a slave. He was a son. You cannot go, watch this now, get ready to hit your spirit. You cannot go from being a son, amen, to a slave. You cannot be an heir and go to be a slave. God said, if you are a son, you're going to remain a son. You're going to remain a daughter. Come on now. So, amen. In these few moments, I want you to hear this. And he arose and came to his father. Watch this now. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Whenever you start making your way back to God, whenever you start getting your things back, God is always watching. The Bible says, he had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son, now watch this now. Now watch, the Bible calls him a son. The Bible doesn't call him a servant. Watch this. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Watch this now. Watch this. The Father, this is powerful. I want you to see this. Watch this. This is powerful. But the Father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe. Watch this. And put it on him. And put a ring on his hand. And shoes on his feet. The Father is saying this here. I'm going to show you, I'm going to crown you with some things. I'm going to put you back in position. I'm going to show you that just because you messed up or you failed at that particular moment, I'm going to redress you because you came back the right way. You recognize your situation. You recognize where you was going through. Now, I need you to hear this now. I'm going to break down the robe, the ring, and the shoes in just a moment here in these next three or four moments. Watch this now. But watch what he says. But the Father said to a servant, bring forth the best robe. The Father calls for three things. He calls for a robe, he calls for a ring, and he calls for shoes. He is recovering and restoring him. And God is saying that's what's going to happen to us. You're going to recover and restore every single thing. And not only that, you're going to get back greater than what you've had. God's going to put the robe on you. God's going to put the ring on you. And God's going to put the shoes back on your feet. And watch, this is powerful. Watch this now. This is very profoundly powerful. Once you receive this, this is going to bless you. Amen. I have about three or four moments here before we turn back over to the prophetess. I want you to watch this now. The robe, watch this. In Scripture, the robe is here. The vesture of purity of righteousness and happiness. It also is the anointing. It represents the mantle of God. The robe is the vesture of purity and righteousness. Uh-huh. And it also is the covering, and it represents the anointing. I hope you're getting this. Write this down. The ring. The ring was regarded as an indispensable article of Hebrew attire. Watch this. Inasmuch as it attained its symbol as a signet and as a symbol of authority. When he put the ring on him, it was like almost marriage, but it was authority. The ring is a signet of authority. The robe is the vesture of purity and righteousness. Now the shoes. The shoes represent several different things, but they mean covering for defense and protection. Watch this. And what it means, get ready for this. What it means, the shoes represent casting. The shoe is meant taking possession. The shoe meant taking possession. So let me break this down. When the son comes back and recognizes this position, the Father, your Father, God the Father, Elohim, as the Bible says, El Shaddai, amen, Adonai, all those names that we call him. He put a robe. He's going to put a robe on you. He's going to put a ring on you. He's going to give you your authority back. He's going to put shoes back on you. Now, these are spiritual things. These are not physical, but spiritual representations. I want to make sure I make that clear. These are spiritual things that are going to be equipped in your life, be positioned upon your life to give to you what you need. I hope you're hearing this here. The robe. Watch this now. The robe in Scripture, the vesture of purity and righteousness, and also it means happiness. Amen. The Bible talks about putting on, amen, amen, talks about the garment of praise and all those different things. This robe, when it hits your life, it's going to change you. It comes from God. This ring of authority, the authority is coming back, and it is in Hebrew attire. It represents authority. The shoes, God has said here, and I want to say, leave this with you. You're getting ready to take possessions. You're getting ready to take possession back. You're ready to walk in your authority. The Father recognized that in order to get my son back, I got to put things back on him to remind him of who he is. And God is saying this here. I want you to know that you are somebody. I'm going to give you my robe. I'm going to give you my ring. I'm going to give you my shoes. And I'm going to put you back where you're supposed to be. And you're going to walk in the power and the authority of God, and God's going to keep you and your family. I hope you heard that today. In reference to this here, Sarah has two sons. Amen. Abraham has two sons. One is Ishmael and one is Isaac. Isaac was the promise. The Bible says, she said, because those two were in the same house, they could not remain. She said, cast out the bondwoman and her son. And watch this, the slave and the heir cannot remain in the same house. And what I mean, in your mental mind, don't be a slave to your situation. Be an heir. Act like you're an heir. Act like you belong. Know this, because the person that is imprisoned by bad thoughts cannot live in the same mental capacity with someone who is trying to be positive. Isaac and Ishmael could not be in the same house. So the bondwoman and the son had to go. I leave you with this today. Remember, you are an heir. Remember, you are a son. Remember, you are a daughter. If you keep that up on your heart, if you keep it up on your mind, you're going to always walk in authority. You'll get your robe, you'll get your ring, you'll get your shoes, you'll be equipped with everything that God has for you and your family. I pray that you receive it, that you have peace in your life. God bless you and your family. God bless.
Amen, amen. Glory to God. That was a powerful, powerful message. I am just sitting here in awe right now, how God moved and talking about sonship. And I'm just, this is definitely, definitely a rhema word, and I am just on a cloud right now. God is going to move greatly for those who receive that word today. You can also log back on to blogtalkradio.com/inspirationstation and hear that again. I'll be doing some posting on Facebook. So this show was recorded, and it was on it'll be on the actual page on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm just in awe right now, because God really significantly moved today. The word that Dr. Dennis Winborn gave, I am just so blessed that he had some time for his daughter to, you know, get on here and get on the show and just bring forth a mighty word of God. I want everyone to be encouraged, because this word, I want you to keep it with you. I want you to soak it in. I want you to meditate on it. It was right on time. The past 2 weeks, God gave me about being like children and gave me the illustration about how being like a child and entering the kingdom. And so how the word came today was just right on time. It was just right on time. And I am just so encouraged and lifted through the power of God. And as usual, I'm going to close in prayer just so we can seal this word. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's seal this word in with a prayer. Father God, I thank you today, God. I thank you for the word, God. I thank you for the revelation, God. I thank you for bringing down the fire from heaven, Father God. I pray that the windows of heaven just open up to us, God, that as we have received the word, God, that we should store it in our spirits, God, that we shall keep it in our hearts, God, that you should move, Father God, in our lives, Father God. Put us in a place, Father God, where we can be heirs of your kingdom, Father God. Father God, we long for a relationship with you, a closer walk with you, God. Draw us closer in, Father God. Just show us how to meditate on your word day and night, Father God. Let not your spirit depart from us, Father God. Just let the word, God, that came today, Father God, will be upon our hearts and our minds in the midnight hour, God. Put us on our knees to pray, God, to seek your face, God, diligently in the name of Jesus, Father God. We pray that our speaker was strengthened today, Father God, that as he closed, Father God, that you gave him back the strength, Father God, that he put out and the anointing that he put out for this word today, Father God. We just thank you, Father God, that our hearts and our minds are elevated and we are prepared, Father God, for the pour out in the spirit, God. We are ready, Father God, as you begin to pour out your spirit, your revelation to us, Father God. We receive the anointing today in the name of Jesus. Charge the phone lines right now by the blood of Jesus Christ right now, Father God. Heal, save, and deliver, Father God, as each and every person, Father God, receive the word today, Father God, that we would be charged, Father God, that we could move forward, Father God, that we could just keep pushing, Father God, because you have given us strength, Father God, because we are heirs of your kingdom, Father God. Just keep us going, Father God. Just keep us encouraged and lifted by the word of God today in the name of Jesus. Father God, we just thank you today as we depart, Father God, off the phones, but we won't depart from your presence in the name of Jesus, Father God. We thank you today that we have sealed this word in our spirits and you have taken us to another level in your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. I want to encourage you to tune in next week at 1 o'clock p.m. I don't know what God is going to do, what the word he's going to bring, but I know it's going to be on time. God bless you. Be blessed. Have a wonderful day, and may God keep you lifted by the power of Jesus Christ.